Section 3, Lesson 2. Let's dive into the process of selecting and electing directors for homeowners associations, which is typically outlined in the association's bylaws. There are several methods for selecting directors, and these can vary depending on the specific rules of the association. One common method is through elections held during the annual meeting. Alternatively, directors can also be elected at special meetings, or they may be appointed directly. For instance, the very first board is usually appointed by the developer. Additionally, existing board members, even if they don't make up a majority, have the authority to appoint temporary members to fill any vacancies that arise. These appointed members will serve the remainder of the term for the member they are replacing. When it comes to homeowners associations, the election process is conducted according to the governing documents. Members have the option to vote for directors either in person at the association meeting or by proxy, as specified in those documents. Interestingly, a member can even nominate themselves as a candidate during the meeting where the election takes place. However, if the election rules allow for advance nominations, the association isn't obligated to accept nominations from the floor during the meeting. It's also important to note that an election is only necessary if there are more candidates than available vacancies. If the number of candidates matches or is fewer than the vacancies, and if the bylaws don't require nominations from the floor, then write-in nominations aren't allowed. In such cases, the qualified candidates will automatically begin their service on the board, regardless of whether a quorum is present at the annual meeting. Now, when it comes to the voting process, boards of directors are typically elected by a plurality of the votes cast by eligible voters, unless the governing documents state otherwise. If there are any disputes regarding the election process, these must be raised within 60 days after the results are announced. For associations that permit voting by secret ballot, there are specific procedures to follow. Members who can't attend the meeting can still cast their votes by mailing or delivering their ballots in a secure manner. The ballots need to be placed in an inner envelope without any identifying marks. And then this inner envelope goes into an outer envelope that includes the member's name, the parcel for which they are voting, and their signature. When the association receives the ballot return envelope, they will verify the member's eligibility to vote. If everything checks out and no other ballot has been submitted for that parcel, the inner envelope is then separated and mixed with the other ballots for counting. However, if multiple ballots are received for the same parcel, those ballots will be disregarded. It's also crucial to remember that any ballots submitted after the deadline won't be counted. Now, let's talk about fraudulent voting activities. Certain actions are considered serious offenses and can lead to misdemeanor charges. For example, if someone willfully swears falsely in connection with voting activities or attempts to commit fraud related to a vote, that's a big no-no. Similarly, preventing a member from voting as they intended or using threats or bribery to influence a vote is also illegal. Even offering something of value to sway a member's vote can be considered corrupt, although providing food at an election meeting or small campaign items is generally acceptable. Now, let's talk about fraudulent voting activities. Certain actions are considered serious offenses and can lead to misdemeanor charges. For example, if someone willfully swears falsely in connection with voting activities or attempts to commit fraud related to a vote, that's a big no-no. Similarly, preventing a member from voting as they intended or using threats or bribery to influence a vote is also illegal. Even offering something of value to sway a member's vote can be considered corrupt, although providing food at an election meeting or small campaign items is generally acceptable. If an election is required, candidates can provide a candidate information sheet, which must adhere to specific guidelines regarding size and content. The association cannot alter these sheets, and they aren't liable for their content. Candidates must submit their information sheets at least 35 days before the election. If an election is necessary, the board must send out a second notice of election along with the notice of the annual meeting, which must be sent out between 14 and 34 days before the meeting. This second notice includes a ballot listing all candidates in alphabetical order, and it must be uniform in appearance. Importantly, the ballot cannot allow for write-in candidates or require voter signatures. When it comes to counting the ballots, this will happen at the election meeting according to established procedures. Once the outer envelopes are opened, no more ballots can be accepted. To ensure a valid election, at least 20% of the unit owners entitled to vote must cast valid ballots. but a quorum of members doesn't need to be present. It's also worth noting that condominium unit owners cannot authorize someone else to vote on their behalf, and any improperly cast ballots will be deemed invalid. For smaller condominium associations with 10 or fewer units, there's some flexibility. They can amend their bylaws to change the election process with the approval of a majority of the membership. Similarly, cooperative associations can also modify their voting and election procedures through a majority vote, which can include provisions for limited or general proxies. Lastly, it's essential for outgoing board or committee members to hand over all official records and property of the association to the incoming board within 5 days after the election. If they fail to do so knowingly, they may face civil penalties. So, there you have it. The process of selecting and electing directors in homeowners associations, condominiums, and cooperatives is quite structured, ensuring transparency and fairness in governance. Let's talk about the education requirements for board members. When someone is newly elected or appointed to the board, they have a crucial responsibility to get up to speed with the association's governing documents. Within 90 days of their election or appointment, they need to submit a written certification to the board secretary. This certification confirms a few important things. First, that they've read the association's declaration, articles of incorporation, bylaws, and current written policies. Second, they're committing to uphold these documents and policies to the best of their ability. And third, they're acknowledging their fiduciary responsibility to the members of the association. Now, if the board member is part of a condominium, there's an additional requirement. They must complete a 4-hour educational curriculum from a division-approved provider and submit a certificate of satisfactory completion. It's worth noting that condominium board members need to retake this certification course every 7 years. On the other hand, homeowners association board members are required to take the course every 4 years. For cooperatives and homeowners associations, the specific number of course hours for certification isn't defined. Continuing education is also a key part of being a board member. Condominium board members must complete at least 1 hour of continuing education each year. For homeowners associations, the requirements vary based on the size of the association. If the association has fewer than 2,500 units, board members need to complete 4 hours of continuing education each year. However, if the association has 2,500 units or more, that requirement jumps to 8 hours annually. Now, what happens if a board member fails to submit their written education certification on time? Well, they will be suspended from board service until they comply with this requirement. During this suspension, the board has the authority to temporarily fill the vacancy. In terms of record keeping, for condominiums and cooperatives, the board secretary is responsible for keeping a director's written certification or educational certificate as part of the official records for 5 years after their election or for the duration of their uninterrupted tenure, whichever is longer. It's important to note that not having this certification on file doesn't invalidate any board actions. Similarly, in homeowners associations, the association must retain each director's certification for inspection by members for 5 years after their election, but again, the absence of this document doesn't affect the validity of board actions. Now, let's move on to board eligibility. Typically, the requirements for serving on the board are outlined in the bylaws or the articles of incorporation. Generally, being a member of the association is a prerequisite for eligibility. In the case of condominiums, if an owner is delinquent in paying any assessments owed to the association, they cannot serve on the board or even be listed as a candidate. This rule also applies to cooperatives and homeowners associations, where any owner who is behind on any monetary obligation is ineligible to run for the board. Moreover, there are restrictions regarding criminal convictions. If a unit owner has been convicted of a felony in this state or in a federal court, or if they've been convicted of an offense in another jurisdiction that would be considered a felony here, they cannot serve on the board unless their civil rights have been restored for at least 5 years prior to the election. In condominiums and cooperatives, if a unit owner has been suspended or removed from the board by the Division of Florida Condominiums, Timeshares, and Mobile Homes, they are also ineligible to serve. For associations with more than 10 units, co-owners of a unit cannot serve on the board at the same time unless they own multiple units or there aren't enough eligible candidates to fill the vacancies. However, this restriction doesn't apply to timeshare condominiums. In homeowners associations, if there's joint ownership of a parcel, each owner may serve, unless the governing documents specifically prohibit such representation. When a corporation owns a condominium unit, cooperative share, or homeowners association parcel, the governing documents will dictate whether the entity can designate a representative to run for the board. Now, let's discuss the term of office for board members. Typically, the term lasts for 1 year, concluding with the election of a successor after the next annual meeting. For condominium associations, with the exception of timeshare condominiums, all board members' terms expire at the adjournment of the annual meeting. Board members' terms can serve longer than 1 year if the bylaws or articles of incorporation allow it. However, there's a cap. A board member cannot serve more than 8 consecutive years unless they receive approval from 2/3 of the unit owners voting in the election, or if there aren't enough eligible candidates to fill the vacancies at that time. It's important to note that only board service after July 1, 2018 counts toward this 8-year limit. If the number of board members whose terms are expiring equals or exceeds the number of candidates, those candidates automatically become board members, effective upon the adjournment of the annual meeting. Unless the bylaws state otherwise, any remaining vacancies can be filled by a majority vote of the newly constituted board, even if that means having less than a quorum or just one director. Finally, let's touch on the number of directors. The specific number is usually outlined in the bylaws or articles of incorporation. Unless stated otherwise, condominiums and cooperatives must have at least 5 board members. However, if the association has 5 or fewer units, only 3 board members are required, provided the association is a not-for-profit corporation. If the governing documents of a homeowners association don't specify the number of directors, then the association must have at least 3 directors. The size of the board can be adjusted as allowed by the community documents. Any decision regarding the size of the board typically takes place at a special meeting of the membership before the annual election meeting. Let's review what you've gained from Lesson 2 of Section 3 with the following 8 multiple-choice questions. 1. What is the primary method for selecting directors in homeowners associations? A. Appointed by the developer. B. Elections held during the annual meeting. C. Nominated by existing board members. D. Selected by a committee. The answer is B. The primary method for selecting directors in homeowners associations is the elections held during the annual meeting. 2. How can members vote for directors in a homeowners association? A. Only in person. B. In person or by proxy. C. Only by mail. D. Only through online voting. The answer is B. Members of a homeowners association can vote for directors in person or by proxy. 3. What happens if the number of candidates for the board matches the number of available vacancies? A. An election is held. B. The current board members decide. C. A special meeting is called. D. Candidates automatically take office. The answer is D. When the number of candidates for the board matches the number of available vacancies, the candidates automatically take office. 4. What is the minimum percentage of unit owners that must cast valid ballots for an election to be valid in condominium associations? A. 10%. B. 15%. C. 20%. D. 25%. The answer is C. The minimum percentage of unit owners that must cast valid ballots for an election to be valid in condominium associations is 20%. 5. How often must condominium board members retake their educational certification course? A. Every year. B. Every 7 years. C. Every 4 years. D. Only once. The answer is B. Condominium board members retake their educational certification course is every 7 years. 6. What is the requirement for a board member in a condominium association regarding delinquent assessments? A. They can serve if they pay the assessment before the election. B. They can serve if they have a payment plan. C. They cannot serve if they are delinquent. D. They can serve if they have been on the board previously. The answer is C. There is no requirement for a board member in a condominium association regarding delinquent assessments because they cannot serve if they are delinquent. 7. What is the maximum consecutive term a board member can serve in a condominium association without special approval? A. 4 years. B. 6 years. C. 8 years. D. 10 years. The answer is C. The maximum consecutive term a board member can serve in a condominium association without special approval is 8 years. 8. What is the minimum number of directors required for a homeowners association if the governing documents do not specify? A. 1, B. 2, C. 3, D. 5. The answer is C. The minimum number of directors required for a homeowners association if the governing documents do not specify is 3 years. How did you do on Lesson 2 or Section 3? If you need a refresher, you can review this lesson again. You can also review your course manual in Section 3, pages 71 through 80.